talk a little bit about some of the experience you've had, governmental and otherwise, that sort of contributes to your candidacy.
Well, I have been historically a commissioner in Ford County during reappraisal, served through 750 tax hearings and had to learn to be an appraiser, and served out there and built a bypass and a bridge. Then I was involved in education, did school consolidation in Kiowa and Comanche County, assisted in Phillipsburg, changed laws to make governance change. I participated in arranging for local government to have sales tax, which was originally to offset property tax, and sometimes today we don't use it for particularly offsetting infrastructure costs. It goes more into quality of life things, but I've been very active, and now I've been commissioner in Pottawatomie County for 4 years and have learned a lot about the area and the opportunities, and would like to finish some of the planning we've started and developments.
And what led you to first run for office and continue running for office?
It's probably genetic. My grandfather was a county commissioner in Ford County. An aunt was a county commissioner in Hodgman County. An uncle was a county commissioner. We've always talked about politics. Two of my younger sisters are running for Democratic office or have in different states. And so we often talk about the issues and have had, I guess, the inspiration to know that if you don't participate and if you aren't aware of what the issues are, you cannot be a very competent citizen.
And we're going to talk a lot about balance today. What are some of your thoughts on how to balance desires for county services, and including, you know, there's these sort of competing desires amongst the public. They want to be able to have good county services, but they want to keep the mill levy down. How do you balance them?
Well, for me, the priorities are safety, security, and economic development. And when something comes onto the budget that has perhaps not the highest ranking as far as what will protect and secure citizens and make their lives safe, sometimes I'm willing to take the challenge and try and find an alternative. I've always been into taught gifted education for, well, creative problem solving and long range planning. And so looking at those things and prioritizing what needs to be done now for the long range growth, which is one of the things Pottawatomie County has struggled with, when I see especially Blue Township and discover some of the things that have just evolved there rather than particularly visioning what would be the result of that, it has been a challenging event to be their commissioner. I really thoroughly enjoy the opportunity to put some vision in this, and we're doing long-range planning and so on because of that, but that's probably my decision-making is based on a lot of reading, a lot of consulting with people in other parts of the area that have had the same problems and find out what worked and what didn't work, and then trying to bring those kinds of ideas into the community for consideration.
And continuing sort of on our balance conversation, recently there have been some folks talking about maybe the commercial development is going a little too fast in Pottawatomie County. And as we know, Pottawatomie County is one of, if not the fastest growing county in the state. How do you balance that desire too? If people want economic development, of course, is important, and growth is important, but also residents seem to want to be able to maintain a little bit of their what they already had too.
That's one of the reasons, probably that the military, Fort Riley, has allowed us to have money to do under their joint land use planning a direct consideration of our development. One of the things people have to remember is freedom to handle your own property is one of the rights constitutionally people have, and what we will do is look at the zoning and the development, and we've established now a sewer plan for the area and a drainage plan in the last 4 years for the area, and as we look at that, limitations may be put on things based on where the floodplain is. I went to a meeting first part of this week on floodplain over at St. Mary's, and it's for the rest of the county, but we need to think about the things that are going to be effective and appropriate and things that must be limited based on the fact that down the line, somebody's going to have to take care of infrastructure, and we can fail on that. I do not want us to be suburban like some of the counties east of us where they have houses spread all over the place and no way to eventually put them on sewer or make certain that they aren't taking away agricultural opportunities in a county like this that's very strong on agriculture by the fact that there's houses in the middle of places where they need to burn the prairie to take care of the cattle production. I've been a farm wife all my life, and I have a great appreciation for the agricultural part of this county, and that's a little different than just saying, oh, we want commercial growth. Agricultural things are commercial, and so I keep that in mind.
And this might be my last question on balance here. Pottawatomie County is a very big county. So as such, there are competing interests based on where you live in the county, particularly north and south, of course. What are your thoughts on how to balance maybe some of those different interests too?
Well, part of it is education. When we look at what really happens in Pottawatomie County, because of our sales tax, we give about plus or minus 6 mills to every rural city because of the appropriation method of the sales tax. So they are receiving a benefit on their property taxes by the fact that they are not isolated from the growth that's over here. And that's balance. The other balance is the entire county benefits from Jeffrey Energy Center. And many times people don't understand that while we are growing, making certain that they have the right support to stay here and serve our county is also significant. And so education is one thing that must make a difference, and I do go out to a lot of the city and county meetings and Farm Bureau meetings and so on, try to be there with people. They don't always ask questions, but try to share the perspectives. The same with schools. Having been a school administrator, we do need very seriously the academic opportunity to keep the kids in our area, just for the whole community, the whole region. But it's also a challenge to try and figure out how to make certain we have the infrastructure to support everything that goes there, and that becomes a discussion of why this part of the county needs a bridge. We discussed the one at Bellevue. We're constantly challenged with very expensive bridges, with having three rivers to contend with in our county. And it's not to be negative to the rest of the world, but those things will be growth areas for the surrounding Waubunsee, Riley, Nemaha County, and so on. So we work at it. It's a prioritized list. We have a long-range five-year plan to try and balance it, and we try to put improvements all across the county. Can't always be equal because it just won't be to serve what we're facing in terms of traffic and development.
And we're talking a lot about infrastructure in this previous comment, which sort of leads into my question. What do you think about the state of infrastructure in the county? Has it been moving in a positive direction?
Absolutely. I actually started to go out here to list the things that happened in the county, thinking I'd put it into a radio ad, but it wasn't an easy thing to do. But we widened, and we are widening Elm Slough Road all the way across the county to match up with Junietta, and that's the proposed hopeful route for rural people to come into Manhattan on the north side of town and free up 24. And that has been on the plan for Manhattan since 2003, when I think Loren Peppert was mayor, so it's not my original idea, but it's very significant with NBAF being straight down that road to have a safe and secure and a flood-proof route for people to come to school, go back to work. 40% of the people who work in Manhattan don't live in Manhattan. It may be higher than that right now. We're investing in 24 Highway and Green Valley interchange, putting in 40% of the cost of a state highway for safety on that particular route, because the numbers are going up. Every time we put in a house, we figure about 2 more sets of vehicles minimum. We've done a comprehensive countywide plan on the roads. We've done Carnahan Road sealed and overlay, which is up toward Olsburg. We've paved Vineyard Road. We've put in Lower XL Road and made it what it wasn't there. All these things since I've been in commission. It was planned, but we are pushing to move it evenly forward. We have the comprehensive drainage, which tells us how to build the roads and where the boxes or culverts should be at what levels so that the drainage will be appropriate. We have resurfaced Westmoreland Road, Military Road, Blackjack Road, part of it, and Junietta East and Moody Roads are now being concreted in the anticipation that if USD 383 is going to have a school over there, we will be able to have at least route there. So it's sometimes we just have to change to meet the changes that occur with planning of other agencies, but we have been very solid at moving forward on these things in the entire county. And some things we have not achieved yet are still on the trestle board. We look at them regularly and say which ones should be prioritized, which ones will have to move down based on some other crisis or change of location of school or whatever else goes.
And Pottawatomie County is one of the partners that Pawnee Mental Health Services has. I understand they have partners with 10 different counties. What are your thoughts on the state of mental health care in the county? Is it Is mental health treatment and infrastructure adequate, or are there more needs that we haven't been able to meet?
It is not adequate. We are, as counties, suddenly put in the place of answering the deficit of the state to fix Larned State Hospital and Osawatomie State Hospital. And what happens in all counties with mental health is if somebody's committed a crime and they have to have a mental health evaluation, they are held in our jails until Larned or Osawatomie can do that evaluation. We do not have doctors who are qualified in Pawnee mental health or local mental health areas to take care of that. And they hand it down to us under a tax lid and say, oh, by the way, now we want you to commit to additional money. The, Pawnee Mental Health is short $500,000 for the 10-county region right now. We met with them on Tuesday and talked about the the care facility they want to put in place. But though we have a grant to build it, the ability to manage it is still between those 10 counties and not necessarily decided. So it becomes important to collaborate. The truth is, to me, the state is continuing to hand down all kinds of responsibilities to the counties who are the hands of the state. We do the elections, we do the appraisal, we do the police, we do the jails, we take care of the courts, and they put us under a tax lid, and so we are unable, as the local and closest to the problem group, to respond. And the commissioners across the state met 2 weeks ago and talked about that. It's very uncomfortable, at the very least, to see that counties are under the tax lid, but not necessarily schools or cities where the largest increases are occurring. And I'm not trying to pit one against the other, but when we need to respond with a road based on something that comes up suddenly, I can't take it to an election at a cost of $60,000 and expect people across the county to say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And it's a bad policy by the state because it is drawing down on reserves, and counties that have reasonably good finances can get lower interest rates. Right now, if we had the opportunity, we could build roads, employ many of the local construction people in this region, which we have been able to, you know, sort of keep some of them busy because of the housing developments. But when we had money for roads provided by the state and they've taken all that money, there were $8 million committed to every county in the state. And when that was happening, people who were doing fixing equipment and selling tires and hotels and restaurants all across the state had a lot of economy in the rollover, the seven-time estimated rollover. Right now, things are so starved that in the rural areas, those kinds of rollovers are not occurring. And when it did happen, people then paid taxes and moved on with things. So I think the state, having these transportation hearings going on and so on, needs to reconsider the priorities. I myself, back to mental health, they would have been much better off fixing up the mental health hospitals than fixing up a prison and building a new prison. But we didn't have the conversation. It was like, oh boy, somebody wants the prison up on the east side of the state, and we should keep them out of prison by giving them treatment. But we are really short of that. We're more reactive than proactive in that. And the hospitals don't want to take mental health anymore, even though it's often a chemical problem that makes people do that. We see that in my time as director of special ed here in Manhattan.
And what aspect of the county do you think is, would be a department, an agency, do you think is the least effective and needs most improvement?
Department that needs the most help? Well,
or just the aspect of the county in general?
To me, under the tax lid, I think differently, but there are silos and duplications of some things like mental health services, not necessarily all going through Pawnee, but we have money going to the schools for mental health. But what happens then, and I experienced this firsthand, both rural and here in Manhattan as director of special ed, when we have social workers and counselors in the school, the kids can't get out of math and science and English and sports to go talk to them. And then when their parents have trouble or there's crisis nights, weekends, and summers, they don't have somebody to go to. And so it would be better to contract those services back and forth and make sure that they are with somebody that they can go to, that that person can go home at night and work with the parents and make a real solid effort for that person to have support. The idea of doing it all the places, so it may seem really good, but in reality, when you've seen how it works, it would be better for those, in my opinion, to be unified under the regional plan with strong services and alternatives and make sure that, you know, if a person needs something for one thing, that they have the kind of treatment they want, or if it's depression, it's another, and that main office could handle that. So it's the silos that sometimes challenge us in counties to work, because when they think it's not working, then they come around and create another set of funds and a grant, and you write it all, and it becomes very frustrating. We don't have grant writers in small counties, and many of those, I serve on the governor's volunteer commission, and we have AmeriCorps and Senior Corps volunteers, not a bad thing, but people in small counties cannot have access to the supports that the large counties can write a grant for. And I've said that to them once or twice. So that, it's complicated. I don't want to pick on any one of them.
No, it's fine.
Priorities. Sometimes I think that we could give, this is an experience from rural county, but one of the things that would be different is to perhaps have the seniors get a voucher to go eat in restaurants and keep them open, rather than going to their own place and eating in isolation, or go to the care homes and make arrangements to eat there and have them cook the meals and send them out and let the same people travel and do it, and or go to schools and eat with the kids and become grandparents, rather than meeting in a separate building with separate insurance and separate costs and all of that. There's nothing sinister about that happening, but as you get to the point of tight budgets, those things that you want to support that are on that side are not as important as the mental health piece is, or taking care of the issues of roads and security, the police, fire, and so on.
And at this point in the interview, I typically like to turn it over to you. What issue, topic, concern do you think are most pressing or most relevant for this upcoming election or and going forward in the county?
For our county, one of the biggest needs is to complete the comprehensive plan and update it so that people have a good understanding and that they participate so that they can say ahead of time, here's what I think. Not everybody's going to get what they want, but failure to participate and then come back and say, oh, you shouldn't do it that way, is what we faced in the last couple of years on terms of planning and direction. It is also very important for us to get a safe and a secure alternative route with economic development potential on the north side of this area that we're sitting out here in, I call it the Blue River Crossing. But while I have said we are building a road across the county to the north that will attach in that area, that will pull traffic off of 24. And in the comprehensive transportation plan, they just look at the perimeter of Blue Township and can't see our vision going outside and up toward the north. And we have to be cautious about being prepared for that, because so many people work in Manhattan. And when you see these sudden floods, we've seen them before, then you have to say that as a leader, you work to get that in place so that if there is a flood, people can go across and go to work and kids can come home from school and disruption does not happen to businesses, private or public. And so that's one of the challenges. And we did meet with the local elected officials, and we've agreed to do an economic evaluation while we're doing our planning about that, and to try and come together with the advanced preliminary engineering. There is federal money for rural bridges since last fall. I want to move that in that direction. That comes up on my side of in Blue Township more than anything else, is getting that alternative route to, with the wreck the other day and cars are back to clear up to the middle of the county. People get mad about that. Thank you.
Thank you
very much for the opportunity to share ideas. And my husband and I don't always agree. We've been together for a long time. I can certainly welcome people to give me their opinions and ideas and try to work them in, or at least explain to them the limitations of, you know, their visions. And that's probably what I enjoy most, is working with people. Thank you.
Thank you.